those secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess
that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let's pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we, who have not seen, have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Acts, the second chapter. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, he was crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 16 responsively with me. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are noble, in whom is all my delight.
Those who teach us under their eye, all the light of sorrows, their drink offerings of blood, and I will not write or take their names on my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading is from 1 Peter, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, and I wonder why not, but anyway. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Disney World. Who's been to Disney World? Yeah? It's the happiest place on earth, right? Someone said right, someone said no. My dad disagrees with that statement. He always says, happiest place on earth, my foot. Except for he doesn't say foot, he says something that starts with an A and rhymes with class. So first there's the heat, there's then the humidity, and then there's the price tag. But there's something else, something worse that can make an otherwise happy day and the happiest place on earth quite miserable. It's the kids. No, I'm just kidding. It's the waiting, right? It's all the lines and the waiting. And Disney knows that this waiting is a problem, so they've come up with a solution. They fixed the waiting. They've come up with an app for one of these wonderful phones, and now whenever you go to Disney World, you see everyone walking around like iPhone zombies. But they've come up with an app, so while I'm standing in line waiting for one ride, I can look at the phone and figure out exactly how long I'm going to have to wait for the next ride. See? They fixed the waiting problem. Perhaps waiting can't even be fixed by Disney. And they are geniuses, right? Waiting is inevitable, even in the happiest place on earth. And I have to say, while waiting 45 minutes to ride Dumbo is annoying, there is a worse kind of waiting. First, there's that waiting that drives anxiety. This is like my kind of waiting. This is what my mind does. Why hasn't my friend or loved one called me back? I know they read my text message. It says red right there. Why haven't... What did I do wrong? Are they mad at me? Did I do something wrong? It's anxiety waiting. But there's an even worse waiting, and an even more sinister waiting that we deal with. Like, did the treatments work? What will the test show? We're not the only ones that have ever struggled with waiting, though. One of the psalmists hates waiting as much as we do and is not afraid to tell God about it. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? I mean, that's more poetic than how we usually say it. We usually just say, are you going to answer my prayers, God? Are you even listening? Are you even there? Waiting. This horrible place of waiting. This is where Thomas finds himself, in the painful throes of waiting. Thomas's teacher and his friend, the one that he had been following for the past 3 years of his life, is murdered. He's nailed to a cross. He watches this. And 3 days later, on the first day of the week, as dawn is breaking, the tomb in which Jesus was buried is now supposedly empty, so they say. Someone tells him this. Some of Jesus' followers even encounter the risen Jesus outside the tomb, allegedly. But many, like Thomas, count these as idle tales, because they saw him die. Those who say he is alive must be mistaken or crazy. And by evening, all the disciples, they are confused and they are very afraid. So they do what any good disciple would do. They lock themselves up in a house. And Jesus does what Jesus does. He shows up anyway. Peace be with you, he says. Look at my hands and my side. See where the nails ripped through my flesh and the spear pierced my body. And the disciples, what do? They rejoice. They say, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
They're awake. All except Thomas. He's not there. He's stuck in line for Space Mountain, I guess. He didn't look at the app right. Didn't realize that was going to be a 3-hour wait today. So he's not there with the rest. And when he does finally show up to this house and meet with the rest of the disciples, he hears stories about a man that they say is Jesus, but to him, stories of a man who just claims to be Jesus, exhibiting scars on his hands and a gash in his side, because the dead don't live. To Thomas, these are nothing more than unsubstantiated rumors, just like the empty tomb. These are idle tales. Jesus was dead. While the rest of the disciples are out rejoicing, Thomas despairs. And this place is where he gets his famous name. This is where he doubts, doubting Thomas. Unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. And he waits. And he waits. And he waits for his encounter with Jesus. An encounter that, as the days pass, I'm pretty sure he's thinking is not coming. And his unbelief must surely grow. If you're alive, where are you, Jesus? I've been waiting. 3 days, and then 4 days, 5 days pass. No Jesus, not a sign, just an empty tomb and these silly, idle tales. 6 days, Still waiting? Still no hands to inspect? Still no belief. To wait for answers and not know when or if they will come. To wait for salvation and not know when or if it will come. To wait for Jesus to show his face and prove to us that he's a thing and he's real and he's alive. And not know when or if he will come. To wait like this is to know what it is to be Thomas. We've all known what it is to be Thomas. Some days, maybe even many days. A week later, the disciples are again gathered in the house. Thomas, this time, is with them. The doors, though, they're shut again. And wouldn't you know, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. Not because Thomas waits patiently. Not because Thomas believes. We heard him, I will not believe. Jesus shows up in the midst of Thomas's defiant unbelief and offers his whole self to him anyway. He says, put your finger here in my hands. Take your hand and put it in my side. Jesus shows up anyway. Jesus does not wait for Thomas to believe first. He does not wait for Thomas to have perfect faith. I would argue that he doesn't even wait for Thomas to have any faith before showing up. He just shows up anyway. That's kind of what Jesus does. The Gospel of Matthew recounts a familiar story where the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee and the waves of a windstorm, driven by a windstorm, begin swamping their boat. Jesus, of course, remains asleep because he's Jesus and these kind of storms don't bother him. Sinking boats don't bother him. He can walk on water. It's fine. But the terrified disciples wake him. They say, Lord, save us. We are perishing. And like anyone who's ever been woken up from a nap, Jesus is not real happy. So he grumpily says to the disciples, why are you afraid, you of little faith? And then Jesus, acting to save these disciples of little faith, calms the storm. I listened to a sermon once from Luther Seminary professor Carolyn Lewis on this text, and it was brilliant. And the title says everything you need to know about the sermon. She says, when little faith is enough. When little faith is enough. When all we can muster is just a little bit of faith, Jesus acts to save us anyway. And that, when I heard that sermon, that was really comforting me because I was struggling at the time and I was like, yeah, I have just a little bit of faith. But as I was writing this sermon, I was wondering, what if I'm standing in the place of Thomas and I've just said, I will not believe. What about when all our faith is gone? Is that enough? What about when we've waited and waited for Jesus to show up and save, and none of the prayers have been answered? As we've waited and waited and life has overwhelmed us and taken what little faith that was there, what little faith that has remained. What about then? What about when we have no faith left? What about when we stubbornly proclaim, like Thomas, I will not believe? Is that enough faith? I think that the title of this sermon could rightly be, when even no faith is enough. Because here's the funny thing about faith. God doesn't need our faith to work. Because when Thomas is out of faith, even then, Jesus shows up. Not because Thomas believed. Thomas didn't believe first. Not because we believe either. Jesus does not wait for our faith to show up. Jesus shows up first. Jesus shows up anyway, even when there's no faith left. Because with Jesus, no faith is still enough. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Even if you said that without faith, it's still enough. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I ask you to join me now in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
Trusting in the power of Christ's resurrection to heal and redeem our broken world, let us pray for the needs of all creation.
Almighty God, you give life to the dead and call into existence things that do not exist. Breathe your spirit upon First Lutheran and its people, that our faith may be renewed day by day, especially when we feel uncertain, weary, or worn thin. Meet us in our questions, our doubts, and our silences, and draw us again into the life of your risen Son. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Healing God, come alongside all who are doubting, fearful, or suffering in any way, especially Jack, Beth, Betty, Barb, Clint, Devin, Chuck, Tammy, Doug, Linda, Ed, the family and friends of Michael, for Joyce and Leroy, for those on our long-term, homebound, assisted living and limited mobility prayer lists, and those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Reveal to them your presence and assure them of your inheritance, the inheritance you have prepared for them. Merciful God.
God of peace, in every place where conflict rages, sow seeds of calm and openness to reconciliation, especially where a temporary ceasefire holds between the United States and Iran. We give thanks for moments when violence pauses, yet we know how fragile and fleeting those moments can be. Where fear and mistrust remain, break cycles of violence and retaliation. Soften hearts and lead nations beyond ceasefires and tentative agreements into the hard and holy work of lasting peace. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer. God of resurrection power, use us and these prayers to proclaim the good news of new life to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace. Let us continue now with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Merciful God, accept the fruits of our labor, gathered to give you glory. You have set a table before us, a glimpse of that great day when we will hunger and thirst no more. Nourish us with the body and blood of Jesus, that goodness and mercy may flow, may follow us, and bless the world you love. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for this Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and Thomas, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Oh,
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table of new life. Receive the risen Lord. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Pray with me. Holy One, through this meal you have made your home among us and are making all things new. Send us now to speak peace into anxious hearts, to love our enemies, and bring your healing to all nations, so that all God's people may say, Amen.
Amen.
I have one, Pastor. Hi, this is Jeff from above. I just want to make everyone an update that beginning tomorrow, we are going to be repairing the stairs on the east side as well as the sidewalks. What that means is the rails will be no longer there. We don't plan to have those rails there for at least 10 days, because it takes 10 days for that concrete to fully cure so they can reattach it. So for next Sunday, for the ones who come up from the east side into the church, I would ask for you to come over to this side and come through the west side, because that's all gonna be taped off. With no rail to come up the stairs, you won't be able to get up here. So, sorry, Pastor, you're gonna have to put your, brake on your car so it doesn't roll into the.
Out the donations for our
is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go forth in peace as Jesus has sent us.
We will. Thanks be to God.